I don't have to say anything now. When you take into consideration, and thank you, Phil and the team, for the worship this morning, just God's Spirit is alive and well in this house. And even to see two of our young men up here on guitar and drums, just wonderful to see them joining in worship and helping bring the Spirit of God into this place. And thank you so much to my friend Derek. We've read that chapter together many times, and I appreciate you being the one to introduce today's sermon with that, so thank you. Also like to extend some words to the people who can't be here with us at church today. I do hope that you're able to connect with God's word for you today out of today's sermon. We're all praying for you and thinking of you, and we hope that today's message is a real blessing to you. As you know, at the moment we're in the midst of a series on the life of David. And as Andrew said last week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from the story of David and look at probably his most well-known song. And David was a prolific songwriter, and we are just so blessed in God's word to have the book of Psalms, which is all of David's songs that we can actually reach into and find meaning in life. Today we're going to specifically look at Psalm 23, which is probably one of the best known passages in the Bible. You hear it at weddings and funerals, you hear it read by hospital beds, you hear it in church services, and many of you have probably memorized Psalm 23 off by heart. But sometimes when we become so familiar with something that sometimes we lose meaning of the depth of the words that David is singing out here. And I know that God has some insights for us today, which I hope to bring forward to you. Now, David, at this time, experienced some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows in life. And isn't it interesting that what he cries out is, "The Lord is my shepherd." This psalm is simply not just about comfort, it's about relationship. And I hope in today's sermon that you'll actually get to experience some of that with me. So let's dive in, and I'll start with prayer. Dear God, Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for the message that you have for us today. Dear Lord, help me to take a back seat this morning and just be your mouthpiece. Dear Lord, help us to have open hearts and open minds to the message that you have for us as a collective, as a church family, but also individually, dear Lord. Speak into each individual's heart, dear Lord, because I know that you have a message for each of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. This is going to be the focus today. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What I would like to do today is have a look at some of the key elements of that shepherd-sheep relationship. Because on the surface, doesn't seem like a big deal. Shepherds were seen as lowly workers. But when we look at the relationship, it is quite in depth and quite powerful. So David begins here with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "The Lord gives me good advice." He He doesn't say, the Lord helps me out occasionally. He doesn't say, the Lord's nearby somewhere. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. How amazing is that when we look at it? That the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty Creator, the Chosen One, the Mighty Creator that just holds the whole universe together, wants to be our shepherd. This should fill us with confidence. The image of God as a shepherd would have immediately meant something to David. Because as we know, David was a shepherd prior to becoming king. So David had knowledge about sheep. And for anyone who's worked with sheep, I grew up on a sheep farm at Hamilton. So I feel I got a pretty good insight into sheep. They're completely dependent. David knew how
Sorry, that's going to change my theatrics that I had organised. So, anyone who's tried to get sheep to go through an open gate where they can clearly see it, clearly, they know how sheep are not very intelligent. They're easily frightened. They wander. They struggle to find their own food. They often don't even recognise and certainly cannot defend themselves. If a shepherd wasn't watching them in those days, then those sheep would surely destroy themselves. It's interesting that David knew exactly what sheep were like. And in this, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he was actually putting his hand up and saying, hey, I'm a sheep. You are my shepherd, I am a sheep. That takes humility. None of us like admitting that we need help. We all like independence. We all like some control. We like believing that we've got life all figured out. But Scripture continually reminds us that spiritually we are sheep. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. That's exactly what sheep do. Jesus called us sheep. Why? Because we wander. We panic. We become distracted. We follow the crowd. We make poor decisions. Sometimes we do this accidentally. Unfortunately, sometimes we do it deliberately. Sometimes we think we know better than God. We're all prone to drifting and wandering. Without Christ, we are truly lost. In the New Testament, Jesus arrives and he makes an astonishing statement. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. Not merely, I'm a shepherd and I'm okay at it. I am the good shepherd. And he goes on to say that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, David wouldn't have known this when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He could only anticipate it. However, we see that delivered on the cross. That our good shepherd doesn't merely just lead and protect us as sheep. He dies for them. That's the gospel. We are not accepted because we're impressive sheep. We are rescued because we have an extraordinary shepherd. And in John 10:27, it says, Jesus is the shepherd that we need to know, that we know his voice and we hear it. And he knows us because he calls us by name. And he leads us. Church, how blessed are we? Do we always remember how blessed we are knowing that we have the perfect shepherd to be led by and to walk with? Notice another key word which I think is easily glossed over. David says, my shepherd. Not simply a shepherd, my shepherd. And he uses that deliberately because faith is personal. It's not private, but it is personal. David doesn't simply believe that a shepherd exists. He knows that he belongs to one. He uses my shepherd deliberately. And hopefully when we read the Lord is my shepherd, that immense feelings and emotions build up in us. When we think how God sees us, how he sees me, how he sees Jake, how he sees Derek, how he sees Ginny, how he sees you, and how he interacts with you. The second characteristic that of the shepherd-sheep relationship that I'd like to delve into is the contentment that the shepherd provides. David continues in verse 1 saying, I shall not want. Please note, David isn't saying, I never have a difficulty. I never have a trial. I never have a storm. David wasn't wealthy his whole life. He spent years hiding in caves. He was betrayed. He experienced loss. He buried children. He faced enemies. His life was anything but easy. Yet he says, I shall not want. How? Because his confidence wasn't in circumstances. His confidence was in the shepherd. Paul understood this when he wrote in Philippians 4:19. Sorry, I think I've got the verse on a slide. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus is enough. Notice he says their needs. He doesn't say wishes, because we've all got wishes in our life. We've all got wants in our life. But the shepherd knows better. He knows exactly what we need. The third element of the shepherd-sheep relationship, the rest that the shepherd gives. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. How peaceful does that sound? Especially on a sunny day like yesterday. Don't know whether I'd want to be laying down in one today. But shepherds tell us something interesting. If you've actually watched sheep for any amount of time in a paddock, they don't naturally lie down. They only rest and lie down when four things are taken care of: fear, conflict, pests, and hunger. And the shepherd takes care of those things. And when the shepherd takes care of those things, then the sheep can truly rest. Isn't that true for us? many people today are exhausted, not necessarily just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We live, and we saw in the kids' talk, we live in this always-on culture where we're just distracted all the time, and sometimes we're distracted from how tired we are, how anxious we are, how worked up we are. Phones buzz, emails arrive, deadlines increase. News never stops, our mind races. Many of us have forgotten how to rest. Yet notice something surprising. David says, he makes me lie down. God makes us lie down. Notice David doesn't say, I found green pastures and putting it all on him. He says, he makes me lie down. Sometimes we wouldn't stop unless God either made us or allowed us to slow down. Sometimes he removes things. Sometimes illness forces us to stop. Sometimes disappointment redirects us. Sometimes closed doors reveal unexpected blessings. And sometimes, I've experienced that a lot this year myself, sometimes closed doors become places where we rediscover God. None of us enjoy those seasons. None of us enjoy those storms and trials. But often they become the green pastures we would never have chosen, but the ones that actually allow us to rest. Because the shepherd knows exhausted sheep are not healthy sheep. God stops me regularly. And it's probably because I'm one of his least intelligent sheep. That's clear. As some of you would know, I'm a husband, a father, a principal, a basketball coach, a footy coach. I'm involved here at church in a number of capacities. And my life can get hectic. And at times I know I take on too much. And I know deep down that it's probably because I don't always listen closely enough to what God's view on things are. 2026 has been an incredibly challenging year for me. On many occasions, God has made me stop and rest so that he can restore me, not so I can restore myself, so he can restore me. Through the trials that have come for my family and I have put my faith in my shepherd. And at times I admit that I've had doubts and I've struggled, but I feel God's presence and the amazing peace he brings. Green pastures represent more than physical provision. Whoops, mouse has gone a bit crazy. In those times, shepherds would lead their flocks to pastures where they knew that the sheep would be able to graze well, to pastures where they would feel safe and calm, and that the shepherd could watch over them and protect them while they received nourishment. The shepherd provides daily nourishment, but the onus is on us to eat. We have to be active in this. In John 6, verse 35, it says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Our souls were never designed to survive on achievement, success, entertainment, all of those worldly measures that we see all the time. Only Christ truly satisfies. David continues here. He says, he leads me beside still waters. And once again, we need to understand what's happening with the sheep in this situation. Sheep are worried about fast-moving water. They are worried about getting swept away. And in those times, shepherds used to actually dig holes and allow them to fill with water so that the sheep had safe, still water where they could relax and drink without fear. Jesus offers us that kind of peace. He doesn't promise us an absence of storms or trials in our life, but he offers us peace within them. The world says peace comes when circumstances change. Jesus says peace comes when you stay close to me. Notice rest isn't primarily found, even though we like them, holidays, retirement. I'm yet to experience the wonders of retirement. Financial security, entertainment, because you can still be on holiday and still be anxious. You can have financial security and still be restless. Rest isn't ultimately geographical or situational. It's relational. Whatever situation we're in, we have a relationship that we can call on. An example for me would be our wonderful Connect group. To all the men in our Connect group, how joyous it is for us to be able to meet together, to be able to dive into God's Word, to be able to talk about it, to be able to talk about our lives and what we're experiencing in our lives, sharing our successes, sharing our challenges and our trials, praying for each other and praying with each other and for each other just brings so much peace. And it's in that green pasture of that Connect group that our group finds that peace and restoration. Can I encourage you, church, if you're not in a Connect group, seriously consider it. Because it is that wonderful opportunity to be in one of those green pastures where Christ can actively move, not just in your life, but in the other lives of the people in your group. It's an opportunity to be restored. Please consider it, church. The fourth and final element of the shepherd-sheep relationship that I wanted to just touch on today is the shepherd who restores. He says at the start of verse 3, David says, "He restores my soul." Perhaps these are the most beautiful words in any of the Psalms. He restores my soul. Going back to sheep again. Sorry, you're going to be experts in sheep by the end of this sermon. Sheep can get cast. Now, you may not know what cast is, but they are prone, sheep, to laying down, rolling over onto their back and getting stuck. And it's actually quite comical the first time you see a sheep, just this big ball of wool and these four little legs kicking away as it tries to stand. Now, it's a bit of a laugh when you first see it, but you know that you've got to go and turn it the right way up. Because unfortunately, if it doesn't, being on its back like that, being out of its regular position, gases start to build up in the sheep's body. And this affects the blood circulation. And eventually, if the shepherd doesn't come along and help and turn that sheep over so that it's the right way up, circulation stops and the sheep dies. Notice the sheep can't rescue itself in this situation. It needs something or someone stronger. This is exactly what sin does in our lives. We get cast. We get stuck on our back. We become helpless. We're unable to rescue ourselves. Religion can't save us. Good works can't save us. And despite what you see on a lot of shows, self-improvement can't save us. Only Jesus can restore us. The shepherd is the one who restores. That's important because we live in a culture that tells us to fix ourselves. If you're exhausted, take a holiday or work on yourself. If you're anxious, well, you've got to become stronger. If you're empty, hey, fill your calendar with a whole heap of stuff that promises satisfaction. We're constantly reminded or told that restoration comes through our own self-improvement. The Good Shepherd doesn't stand at a distance and tell us to figure it out. He doesn't say, yep, you go off and fix yourself and then come back to me. He gives us an invitation in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not telling you to go away and improve yourself. He's saying, come to me. The gospel is a story of restoration. Because of our sin, humans have wandered far from God. Yet Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came from heaven, lived, died and was resurrected for our sins so that we can be restored, so that we can be in peace with God and we can have a new life. And even after we've become Christians, we still need his restoring work every day. We can get this through word, get it through prayer, get it through his Spirit. He restores us as we remember his abundant grace. Maybe today your soul feels tired, anxious, discouraged, or distant from God. The encouragement of Psalm 23 is not try harder. It is about the shepherd is still in the business of restoring souls. Our hope isn't in our ability to hold on to him. It's in his faithfulness to hold on to us and carry us. So today, bring your weary soul to Jesus. Let him do what only he can do. Now, being a school teacher, I've always got this hat on of, so what can you do? Got to get you to do stuff. So how do we live out Psalm 23 in our lives? Firstly, follow the shepherd daily. Sheep stay close to their shepherd. They recognize the shepherd's voice and they follow. Notice this is an active statement. You have to get up and follow. It's not you hear the shepherd's voice and go, yep, just stay here with me, shepherd. Okay, follow. The more time we spend in his word, the more familiar his voice becomes to us. Secondly, surrender your need for control. One of our greatest struggles is believing that we know better. We know our life better. We know our circumstances better. Trust means following even when we don't understand. Faith isn't about knowing everything. Faith isn't about having all the answers. Faith is about trusting the one who does. Third, practice contentment. Each day, thank God for his faithfulness. Gratitude changes perspective. Your perspective on situations in your life will change when you give God gratitude. Instead of focusing on what's missing in your life, recognize what God has already provided. Fourth, intentionally rest in God. Build rhythms into your life that remind you that you are not the shepherd, that I'm not the shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. God doesn't need us to hold the universe together. He does a pretty good job of that himself. He already does that perfectly. Take time to pray, to read scripture slowly. Sometimes we can rip through it, but he wants us to take our time. Be still before him and trust him with what keeps you up at night. I'd like to invite the worship team back up to stage, and we're just going to have some gentle music as we close today. And please, I hope this speaks to you personally. There are seasons in our lives when we don't understand what God is doing, why that diagnosis came, why that job ended, why relationships changed, why prayers seem unanswered. Life is filled with change and can be filled with uncertainty. But one thing never changes. Absolutely. Amen. The shepherd. The shepherd knows the destination. The shepherd sees the dangers we don't see. The shepherd walks ahead of us. The shepherd never abandons his sheep. He is faithful. He is present. He is enough. Just going to ask you to go with me on this one, please. Please take a moment to close your eyes, bow your head, and open your hands to God in submission to him as your shepherd. And while we're all sitting here, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you need this morning to acknowledge that you need to surrender into the care of the Good Shepherd, please just raise your hand. Raise your hand to God. Don't be concerned. Declare this morning to God that you are ready to follow him implicitly. Maybe today you're weary. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you've wandered. Maybe you've been trying to shepherd your own life. Hear the invitation from Jesus. Come to me, not merely for information, religion, but for relationship. In Christ you have everything you truly need. And because he is your shepherd, you can rest, trust, and follow. And one day, as Psalm 23 concludes, you will dwell with our good shepherd in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself as our good shepherd. Thank you that you know each one of us by name and that you care for us with perfect love, wisdom, and faithfulness. Lord, forgive us for the times we have wandered from you. Forgive us for trusting our own strength instead of depending on your care. Thank you that you never stop seeking your sheep. and that through Jesus Christ you have made a way for us to be forgiven, restored, and brought back to your family. For those today who are weary, bring your rest. For those who are anxious, replace fear with your peace. For those who are carrying guilt or shame, remind them that your grace is greater than their past. Restore broken hearts, renew tired spirits, and fill us afresh with hope. Teach us to recognize your voice above all the competing voices in our world. Lead us in the path of righteousness so that our lives would honor your name. Help us to trust you even when we cannot see the road ahead, believing that your plans are always good and your presence never leaves us. May we leave today confident not in ourselves, but in you, our shepherd. May our homes, our workplaces, our church and our community see the love, peace and faithfulness of Christ reflected in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.